The tree of life. We started off in the book of Genesis, and I told you we were going to stay in it for probably several weeks. The tree of life from Genesis to Revelation, choose the tree or choose to stay in death. So on the front side of this tape that you've just listened to, we went through and we talked about Genesis 2, 7 through 9. We talked about the fact that I believe the tree of life, the word of life, are the same. And I told you that during the course of these few weeks, I'll make my case by the time I'm finished to prove it. So we went through Genesis 2, 7 through 9. Then the choice that God gave man concerning the different trees and the gardens, very interesting. Genesis 2, 15 through 17. Then why wouldn't these extremely religious men, scribes and Pharisees, who were looked upon as God's representatives on the earth, come to Christ to receive eternal life? We answered that question in John 5, 38, 41. They did not believe what God told them by his word, and neither did Adam and Eve. They believed the devil rather than God, and I asked the question, has it changed? We then continued and talked about the right to eat of the tree of life. We talked about the different groups of people in heaven, who would be allowed access into the city and who would not. We went through Revelation 22, 14, and went back in the Old Testament to show an example of the benefits of keeping God's commandments, regardless of which dispensation of time you're born in. We went back to Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 3, then we finished up with Luke 4 and 4, Revelation 22, 1 and 2, Revelation 21, 24a, which talked about the city, the composition of the city, the river of life in it, the tree of life in it. The tree of life produces living seed that produces fruit and leaves. We went back and covered that in Revelation 22, 2. We talked about the living word of God has seed that also produces fruit and leaves. Then we went on down and talked about the fact that the Revelation overcomer produces fruit and eats fruit in the city. Those producing leaves without fruit will eat what they produced. Those outside the city, I do not believe, will have direct access to the city itself. Now, last Sunday night, we talked about the millennial reign. We talked about the millennial temple. But we really zeroed in on this heavenly city and the new earth. And I told you that the river of life goes outside the city. I've put two branches on it. Just because it has two branches, the one in the book of Ezekiel that's supposed to be a picture, an earthly picture of the final one in heaven, has two branches on it. I have no idea how this thing will look once it gets outside the city, but it flows out of the throne of God, comes down the middle of the city. The tree of life is on both sides of it. So the tree of life is inside the city. The river of life starts inside the city, but it comes outside the city and goes out on the new earth. And so we'll be drawing some distinctions between access to different types of spiritual nourishment in heaven before we're finished. Now, I'm going to begin tonight by talking about earthly things to try and relate them to heavenly things. The Lord taught largely in parables. He would teach the first New Testament church and others who would listen things that were earthly so they could understand spiritual things. He tried to explain spiritual things in earthly terms. And when Nicodemus came to him and he tried to tell him about the new birth, Nicodemus was confused. And the Lord said, "Art thou a ruler of Israel? Understandest thou not these things?" So a lot of things in the Bible, God takes things that we humans can understand because this is where we live. This is where our five senses operate. This is what we relate to. And since we've never been to heaven, we've never touched the things that are there that are spiritual, we've never experienced that, to try and explain to us what it's like, we just don't have the mental comprehension for it. So in Genesis 1:11, and then Genesis 1:29, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb bearing seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so." Basically, what this says is that when God created, people are always asking, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Which came first, the seed or the grass? Some people have an obvious answer for it. But the one thing I am certain of is this. Grass produces seed. Trees produce fruit. Fruit usually have the seed in them. That's usually the way. And they're self-reproducing. So you see here seed. You see here tree. You see here the fruit produced. And the seed is usually in the fruit. And then that seed, when it is taken and transplanted somewhere else in good soil, it will produce just like the thing it came from. An orange tree produces oranges. An apple seed produces an apple tree. So what we're talking about here are the seeds that produce them, the actual trees themselves, and the fruit that they bear and the relationship one to another. Now, in Genesis 1 and 29, and God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree." God gave the creation process. He gave the seeds. He made the trees where they produce the seeds. Some don't do it through their fruit, but most of them produce it through what they normally call fruit that comes from the tree, whether it be something that's edible or non-edible. "Which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed." In the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. So you plant a seed. It produces a tree. The tree produces fruit. Usually the seed is in the fruit. The seed then produces another tree. And it's a cycular process that goes on and on and on and on. God made that in normal, natural, physical things. "To you it shall be for meat." So when you talk about spiritual trees and things that are relating to spiritual trees, you have to have some kind of a foundation to build on that we can understand in earthly terms, even though the two are probably quite different. Genesis 3:24. "So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim," heavenly beings, "and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." I believe when a man is born again, that is when he partakes of the tree of life. And I believe that for the rest of his life, the question he has to decide within himself is, now that Christ is in me, now that he's making me aware of what I should and shouldn't do, now that he's leading me, how much of that tree of life do I want? I believe the Word of God is the tree of life. I believe that you can make a direct comparison, and I believe the Word of God is the tree of life. This book right here is life. It's changed my life, and it gives me a purpose and a reason for living. And the older I get, the more food it is to me, and the more dependent I am upon it, because as I grow weaker in the flesh, able to do less physical things, I find myself more and more directed toward this book and the power that God gives in this book, that he says, "You do this, and I'll do this," and through obedience, because I am a child of God, and in yielding to his Spirit, I truly believe that I'm able to do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But the all things doesn't mean something that's contrary to God's will. I believe if there's anything that's God's will, that I'm willing to do what he says he wants me to do, and the way he directs me, I believe that I'm able to do all things through Christ. But the problem is never with Christ. It's always with me. Now, the revealed Word of God, and I realize that just to put this up here and make statements doesn't prove a whole lot, but before I'm finished and I get to the end of this, I believe you'll see why I'm so convinced that what I'm showing you is the truth. The revealed Word of God is the spiritual tree of life. His Word is a spiritual tree that produces spiritual seed for spiritual reproduction of spiritual fruit. The Word is a spiritual tree which produces its spiritual fruit in those in whom it is implanted by the Spirit who gave it to us. Now, if I'm spiritual, where did I get it? From this book. You say, well, no, you don't understand, Brother McElroy. It's spiritual, something that just makes you just tingle all over from top to bottom. No, it's something that comes from this book. Because this book is a living Word. It is a living Spirit. And God deals directly through this book. I was listening to some on Trinity Broadcast Network. Incidentally, Charles R. Stanley was on there last night. Charles R. Stanley was on with Jan and Paul Krause. You're getting more and more of these preachers right up there in the middle of that Trinity Broadcast Network. And it's going to get worse. You're going to see a lot of preachers that are going to start going over that Trinity Broadcast Network. I wouldn't touch that heresy with a 10-foot pole. The Word is a spiritual tree which produces its spiritual fruit in those in whom it is implanted by the Spirit who gave it to us. Now, John 6:63, and then 68:69. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. And yet today, I am convinced that most, and I said most, of the so-called worship on this earth toward God is from the fleshly nature and has no connection whatsoever to do with the spiritual instructions found in the Word of God. I watched last night as they talked about how you could get all these spiritual gifts, and they all speak in tongues on that Trinity Broadcast Network. And so they were talking about how to get the spiritual gifts, and they spent a whole program just talking about the spiritual gifts. They didn't talk about Jesus. They talked about spiritual gifts. Do you know that every church that Paul wrote to, he had nice things to say to them? Every church he wrote to, he had extremely nice things to say about it. He complimented them, he encouraged them, told them what a great job they were doing. Just look it over. But in his letter to the church at Corinth, he jumped all over them with both feet. Why? Because they had gone wild over spiritual gifts, which did exist in that time. And they were turning the spiritual gifts into something that was fleshly, and many of them were faking it. Now, you will not find the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues even referred to in any of the other epistles. That's why he commended them. They were looking for the things that were of a more noble nature, like the brethren at Berea. And when you talk to me about the Spirit of God, you're talking to me about this book. And several of them, I listened, and they said, Jesus spoke to me. Well, they had a Baptist on there with them. He said, well, you don't mean audibly. He said, well, I can hear it. So they got into a debate whether they could hear it audibly. Finally, the man who had made the statement said to the Baptist, well, maybe I didn't hear it. Maybe it was just in my heart. And the Baptist said, oh, that's okay, that Jesus speaks to you in your heart. Jesus finished, had this book finished so he could speak to you. This is what he's got to say. You see, if he hadn't left us this book, how would we possibly know who was telling the truth? The one who had the most eloquent manner, the one who had the most dynamic personality, the one who had the most naturally convincing nature would be the one you would follow. But God left us this book. And I tell you, this is his book. And it is spiritual. It is written by the Spirit, and it is what he says to us. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, he spoke unto them. They recorded it. It's called the New Testament. After his ascension, his Spirit returned, and they wrote other things by the leadership of his Spirit, and they recorded them. They are Spirit, and they are life. This book is the tree of life. I've got a good choice to make. Do I want to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Or do I want to eat of the tree of life? I got my first taste of the tree of life when Christ came to indwell me some 54 years ago. Now, every day when I get up, I've got a choice. You say, well, the tree of knowledge of good and evil is not around anymore. Oh, yes, it is. You can learn about more and more about evil every day. You can learn facets of sexual immorality and sexual perversion that you never even dreamed existed. You can learn new things about evil every day. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is still around. And many of God's children, instead of continuing to eat of the tree of life, which is the Word of God, instead of keeping on coming to the Word of God and feasting on that spiritually, they let their flesh feast on the things that the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the world has to offer. And they learn more and more about evil and the perversion in it. But there's no spiritual growth in their own life because they've cut themselves out from a nourishing spiritual diet. And make no mistake about it. This is not something that, these aren't just words. These aren't just, this isn't just something that, isn't that a nice illustration? I ate an apple yesterday. It went in here and got digested. And it came out as Jesus said in the draught. But when I eat this book, and this book comes into me, it feeds me spiritually. While I may not retain all of it, by the grace of God and Jesus Christ, I retain some of it. And it's something that you have to continually feast on. God made it that way, but it's real and it feeds you spiritually. And if you don't study it, or if you don't come to church, if you won't listen to the Word of God, if you won't let it say what it has to say to your heart because Christ indwells you, then, my friend, you're going to be spiritually malnourished and you're going to do all sorts of silly things. Then Simon Peter answered him To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Well, Jesus has ascended into heaven, but I've still got this book. Many times I've taken tours over to Israel, and I've heard the people as we walk along, they say, oh, if I could have just been here with Jesus, walking along, talking to him. Good grief. There's more right there in that book than Jesus ever said to the disciples while in those 3.5 years. During those 3.5 years, Jesus didn't say nearly what all is recorded in this New Testament. You want to walk along and talk with Jesus? If it means so much to you walking along the seashore, take the Bible over there with you and walk by walking along, looking around, read the Bible. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God means for us to look at his word every day. And this old business of, oh, I know. No, you don't know. If you knew how valuable this is to your soul, if you knew how needed this is in your life, and you realize the eternal consequences that it's going to have in heaven, you and I would spend a whole lot more time in the Word of God, letting it nourish us and feed us and build us up. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Why have we got such a big church roll? Why do most churches have a big church roll and such a small number attending? Because they're not sure. Why did these men follow them? Why did these men follow Jesus? Oh, they had a lot of ulterior motives. Some of them weren't all that pure, but some of our motives aren't that pure either. But as backward as they were, rough, cut, Galilean ragtags, as rough as they were, they still followed Jesus, and they stuck with him. Why? And are sure that thou art the Christ, that Christ, the Son of the living God. When Jesus gave this, a whole multitude of people were there. In addition to that whole multitude of people, there were his disciples. Disciples. There were his disciples. And there were more than 12. When he started talking in this 6th chapter, he said some spiritual things to them. And it offended them. And they took off for high cotton. And he was left with these 12. And here's the reason they stayed. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's the reason that some of you have stayed faithful in God's church. And that's what attracts you to God's church. And that's what keeps you here. It's certainly not my debonair personality that enthralls you and makes you feel good all the time. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the Word of God. The surer you are that what you believe is true, the more faithful you are going to be to God. And if you ever get to the point where you really believe there is a heavenly city 3/5 the size of the United States, and you can start imagining yourself there, and starting in some small way in that finite mind to realize, good grief, that goes on forever, then you'll drag yourself out of bed, and you'll be faithful, and you'll give to God's church what you should give. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. A tree needs a seed. The seed came from another tree. The seed is the Word of God. It came from the very person and spirit and personality and power of God. I'm going to jump down to verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word. Having heard is past tense. It means this is where they got the honest and good heart. Having heard means this occurred before this. This is past tense. Which in an honest and good heart, having heard, that's what caused it. That's what gave them a new heart. That's what gave them a new birth. That's what gave them a new spirit. That's what gave them, they were born again. Having heard the word, and the word is the tree of life, keep it. What does that mean? It means they keep on feasting on it. They keep on retaining it. They keep on following it. It keeps on being more and more important to them. The word is katiko. It means like something you carry on your person that's very valuable. It means a lot to you. Like a billfold, and so you button your back pocket to make sure it doesn't pop out, because it means a great deal to you. He told the disciples that had those men who had believed on him in John 8:31, he said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And indeed is a lathes, it means true disciples. And bring forth fruit with patience, with hypomene, with endurance. So whenever God plants a spiritual seed in you, the spiritual seed he plants in you is from the tree of life. It's the word of life. And it produces what it was in you that was in Christ. But it only does it with endurance, hypomene, patience. The fruit that we bear, he relates to a tree. We grow up as a tree. His power and spirit comes through us like the sap and other ingredients that come up through a tree. And people get to see the tree producing him in us. They get to see what comes out of us, which is not of us, but is of God. And we become the instrument, trees, if you will, through which the life of Christ, through the Word of God, pours out to a lost and dying world. Not that we have any power of our own. We're just the vessels. But God deals with us in spiritual ways. This book is the most spiritual thing on this earth. You say, no, the most spiritual thing on this earth is the Holy Spirit in the New Testament church. How are you going to separate this from the Holy Spirit? This is all he's got to say to you. And if a church is following this book, and if each member in his own heart, by the leadership of Christ's Spirit, has determined, I'm going to follow Christ, you've got to follow this book. You say, I'm going to follow the Spirit, you've got to follow this book. This book that I'm holding, I realize it's just black print on white paper, but this is the Spirit of Almighty God. And this is what he's got to say. And the nice thing about it is you don't have to wonder what he says. You don't have to go through and get down up at the front of the church and get on your knees and get sincere and do what they call pray through. You don't have to join together in a little tight circle where two or three are gathering together in my name. You can all get together and agree on it. You can all have a Cadillac and vanilla ice cream and butter pecan ice cream. You can have anything you want. Just two or three agree on you. That's acting like you know more than God. That's absolutely ridiculous. And the truth of the matter is, you're going to get the blessings of God, but the only way you're going to get them is according to what that book says. You may accuse me of having faults, of being a sinner, of doing all sorts of crazy things. You may accuse me of not being this and not being that. But don't you ever dare even think of accusing me of not preaching the word. I may interpret it, okay, misinterpret it. But I'll tell you when I misinterpret it, because I try to preach the word. Endurance is the key to everything. What good is a tree that starts to produce fruit, doesn't produce fruit? Or what's good with a tree? What's good about a tree that produces one year of apples, then the next year it never produces anything? But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is what that seed is supposed to produce in us. So each one of us, in essence, is a tree of life. And each one of us who know Christ as our Savior, the Spirit of God goes through. Now, if God determines really what kind of a crop you're going to have, because he determines the weather that you're going to have on your normal crop, he determines what kind of a season you're going to have, whether it'll produce big apples or big oranges. So God determines all that. And God determines the fruit that's produced in you. It's done of God. You are the, he's the vine, you're the branches. You just happen to be an instrument that he chose to use, and thank God for that. But I picture us as trees. I picture the Spirit of God working through us. And I picture as a tree, we've got to be a healthy tree. And if you don't cultivate a tree properly, if it doesn't get the right amount of moisture and the right amount of sunshine, then that tree's not going to produce the kind of fruit it should. So God put his sunshine in here. God put his water in here. And God put his climatic conditions in here. And when you come to that book, you come to the right climatic condition. You come to the right amount of water. And you come to the right amount of sunshine. And the more of that you feast on, the stronger your bark becomes. The more you become scaled against the wiles of the devil by the power of Christ within you, the better tree you become. And here's the fruit hanging off of you. That does not say fruits. It's fruit. There's one fruit. This is the fruit that we're all supposed to bring forth. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now those are the things that God expects us to do. And we get discouraged a lot of time because we think that for some reason down through the years, the idea has come along that if you don't lead at least 500 souls to the Lord during the year, that something's terribly wrong with you. And, you know, it's very popular. And a lot of times people, I guess, would accuse me of having sour grapes. They say, well, Brother Michael Murray, you're just not evangelistic. Well, I'm word-oriented, because the Word is the one that does the saving. And a lot of these preachers that get this hyper stuff out and supposedly lead people to the Lord, they're no more saved than Moody's goose. The seed of the tree is the Word of God. The seed of the tree of life is the Word of God. Like trees produce like things in God's plan for all natural things. He established that in Genesis. Like also produces like in the spiritual realm. In the natural realm, like trees produce like trees. In the spiritual realm, like also produces like in the spiritual realm. Each one of us is meant to be used as the tree of life, through which the Word of the Spirit can be seen producing fruit in our lives. I like to be around people that love. I like to be around people that are joyous. I don't mean this superficial junk that you put on about, oh, that was so good to see, blah, blah, blah. I don't mean all that pizzazz. Peace. I like to be around people that are peaceful, that are long-suffering, people that are gentle, people in which the goodness of God has been manifested. Faith. People who aren't always pushy and trying to run over you and get their own way. Temperance. People who have control of themselves, so you don't have to baby and change their diapers every week. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what God meant for us to produce. And the Word of God is a tree of life. Adam and Eve had a choice. They chose to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, when I got saved, it was because I ate of the fruit of the tree of life, the seed, the Word of God. Now, every day, I've got a choice. Do I want to continue to feed off that Word, off that tree of life, or do I want to feed off the tree that provides the evil with what they think? Do I want to be a tare, or do I actually want to be a grain of wheat? Do I want to be a child of God, or do I want to act like a child of the devil? Luke 8:16. Now, in Luke 8:15, talking about the Word of God, but that on the good ground of they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Then in Galatians 5:22-23, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Then we read the seed of the Word of life is the Word of God. Like trees produce like trees in God's plan for all things. Like also produces like in the spiritual realm. Each one of us is meant to be used as a tree of life through which the Word of the Spirit can be seen producing fruit in our lives. Now, let's look at Luke 8:16, realizing that in 8:15, we bring forth fruit with patience. Luke 8:16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. The light is the fruit. The light that they see is God's love, the joy that you have in your heart because of the things he gives to you, the peace of God manifested in your heart, the long-suffering that is comparable, not can't be the same as that of Christ, the gentleness of Christ, and yet the firm stand that he took against evil, the goodness of Christ, the faith of Christ, the meekness of Christ, the temperance of Christ. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And that's the light that people are supposed to be able to see in your life when they're around you. I tell you, and I mean it with all my heart, I don't think churches need a day-to-day, a door-to-door program. I really don't. I don't think churches need a door-to-door program to go out and get to people, unless you're on a mission field somewhere, and I certainly won't knock that. But for an old established church in the community, what each church needs to do is to preach and teach the Word of God. Nothing else. Preach and teach the Word of God. And don't be hard, cold, cruel, mean, snarly. Let it work on you. You can't be mean, cruel, hard, and snarly if you're producing fruit. Then when you go out and you work, when you go out in the world, let them see the fruit. Let them see what God's Spirit is producing in you. Do these things. Let these things be in you, which were also in Christ Jesus. And then the people will see that there is something about you that is decidedly different. Otherwise, they won't. A lot of these churches that get people, get on these crusades, and they get buildings filled up with all these saved people, those same people go out in the world, and after about 2 or 3 weeks, they're right back where they were, And all those people out in the world say, yeah, I know. You found Jesus. Tell me all about it while you're drinking that beer. Psalm 1, 1 through 4. We're talking about the tree of life being the word of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There are two extremes. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Now, what about that man? What kind of a man is he? Here he is. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's your man that produces fruit. That's your man that represents Christ. That's your man that when he goes out, the body of Christ has every reason to thank God for him, because he does good for the body of Christ rather than evil. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Remember the word of life? I'm claiming it's the tree of life. So what is this man's delight? In the law of the Lord. There's no difference between the law and the word. The first five chapters of the book of the Bible, first five books of the Bible, are the Word of God. They're also called the Law of God, the Pentateuch. The law and the Word are interchangeable in the Old Testament. Sometimes it says the Word of the Lord, sometimes it says the Law of the Lord. But the Law of the Lord is the Word of the Lord, and the Word of the Lord is the Law of the Lord. But his delight is in the law or the Word of the Lord, and in his law or in his word doth he meditate day and night. That's a man who takes the spiritual seed, lets God water it with this, lets God acclimatize it with this, and lets God give it light. You need something to grow. The tree has to be nourished. It has to have light. And it has to have the right climatic conditions. I bow before God. I stand before man. I tell you, this has the light to make you grow. And this has the nourishment to make you grow. And if you're in the place where this designates and put yourself in the right climatic position, that'll make you grow. It's obeying God. And it's a living book. It's alive. If that book isn't alive, if this isn't the Spirit of God, we're all in serious trouble, because there is no guide then. There is no way to know. There is no way to be sure. It's who you're going to follow. What man will you follow? You have to follow the book, because the book was written by the Spirit, the book is of the Spirit, and the book is the Spirit. It tells you what that man is like. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You show me a man or a woman who comes to church, and they come to church with the attitude of, I want to know what this says. I want to understand it. With this attitude, I want to know what it says. I want to understand it because I want it to correct me. I want it to change me. I want it to mold me. I want to know what God's will is for my life. When people come to church for that reason, you don't have all these fightings. You don't have people that are always dissenting with everything. You don't have wild disagreements and wild arguments. You don't have somebody that's contentious like a Missouri Mew. Because God never meant for his church members to be contentious. He never meant for us to be any of those things that are not like the Spirit. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. A tree extends its roots out into the river. It has plenty of water. After you become a child of God, he means for you to extend your roots in this book, in this Bible. That's your water. He means you to extend them in there. When you extended them in there, what's the first thing it told you to do? Peter said, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. What's the next thing it tells you to do? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. What did it tell you to do? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. That's a man that brings forth fruit. You can see fruit in his life. You can see he's trying to keep God's commandments. You can see he's steadfast in his giving, in his attendance, in all the things in his life. You can see that he's being fed, that he has an inner spiritual strength. All my strength came from this book. The man that preached it that night that I was saved didn't have a thing in the world to do with my salvation. It was this book which is alive. And the Spirit of God took this book and convicted my heart. and the Spirit of God saved my soul. And since that time, he has fed me with this book. This book is spiritual. This is what the Spirit has to say to me, and this is what the Spirit has to say to you. And God put it in the church because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And if you won't follow God's commandment and put yourself positionally according to this book where the Spirit tells you to go, you are not going to prosper in God's work. Oh, you'll prosper with the world. You watch those fellows on Trinity Broadcast Network. Double-breasted suits, money galore, money, more money than they know what to do with. Oh, they're prospering, just like the scribes and Pharisees prospered. They robbed and cheated the people. But you can't prosper in God's work. Everybody thinks, well, that means I'll get a big house and everything will be great. That's not what that means. Spiritual growth is prospering in God's work. But we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can take nothing out, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, he's going to show you about the ungodly. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. So the ungodly, they're not going to have any Cadillacs. They're not going to be like some of the people on Trinity Broadcast Network, have beautiful suits, wonderful cars, magnificent homes to live in. They're not prospering. So I must be the ungodly one. Those people couldn't possibly be ungodly. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Let me show you what those people are like. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. That's hypomene. That's patience. You have to wait on the Lord and keep his way. Having heard his word, kept it, and bring forth fruit with patience. And he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. This is a person who endures, who keeps the word, who will be exalted because of the fruit he produced by the power of the Spirit of Christ that indwelt him. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. You're not going to see them cut off right now, but one day you're going to see them cut off. What's a wicked person like now? Verse 35. I have seen the wicked in great power. Let me tell you, Trinity Broadcast Network has more stations than any other religious organization on this earth. Money, power, prestige, and they're bringing a lot of Baptists into it now, so-called Baptists. I have seen the wicked in great power. They have tremendous power. You say, well, that's talking about kings and Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini and Hirohito. That's talking about those really mean people. Listen, the meanest person in the world is someone that's mean spiritually. The meanest person in the world is not somebody that robs a bank or that rapes a woman. That's not the meanest person in the world. The meanest person in the world is not someone who shoots his own mother. That's not the meanest person in the world. The meanest person in the world is someone who deceives people spiritually, because that has eternal consequences that will cause that person to be spiritually diverted either from salvation or to be diverted away from keeping the faith. When you cheat somebody out of the truth and you won't teach the truth and you teach them error, that's a very wicked person. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. They do spread themselves, and they're spreading all over the globe right now. People who don't present the truth but claim to be of God, they're just like a big peacock, and they spread out like a green bay tree. And you can look at it and you can say, oh, that's a beautiful tree. Look at that. Look how large it is. A bay tree just spreads itself way, 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 way out. But an apple tree is not like that. Now there's an orange tree. Yet they produce fruit. A bay tree doesn't do anything. Not much good for much of anything, except looking pretty, spread out, beautiful. Look at that. Take a look at Trinity Broadcast Network. Take a look at these mega churches across this country. Take a look at what we're calling great and good and wonderful and acceptable to God and praiseworthy of God. Take a look at that garbage. It's like a huge, big, green bay tree. So you see, they are prospering, and they will continue to prosper. But their day is coming. He says, yet he passed away, lo, he was not. Yeah, I sought him, but he could not be found. Don't be surprised when you get to heaven if all those marvelous TV personalities that you have such great confidence in aren't there. You say, oh, that can't be possible. Listen, I've been in revivals where the preacher got saved. Missionary Baptist, so don't tell me that's not possible. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yeah, I sought him, but he could not be found. That's your wicked man that sprays himself like a great green tree. Mark the perfect man. The man who is mature. The man who produces mature fruit. Did you see in that gift of the Spirit tongues? Did you see anything in there that would draw attention to you personally? What you saw in there were the things that Christ's personality manifests in you. And they're not sensational things. They're not things that you have to jump around on park benches. You don't have to run around laying hands on people, slaying them in the Spirit. You don't have to con them out of any money. You just tell them about Jesus. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the mature man is a man who's learning to love, a man who has joy in Christ, a man who respects and loves the Word of God, a man who wants to eat more and more of the tree of life, a man who recognizes that in the Word of God there are hidden treasures that none of us will ever find in this life, and yet spends the rest of his life looking for them in the joy and anticipation of finding something new every day. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. I have peace with God. I have peace with God. And it's a peace that passes all understanding. When I took the yoke upon me, and I looked at myself, and I began to learn of Christ and from Christ, it began to expose to me what I really am. And the more I learned about myself, the greater God became. I've still got a long way down to go, but I'm a lot further down on the earth and a lot lower in my own sight than I used to be. I found rest unto my soul. You know where I found it? Right here in this book. I know what it means to take the yoke on you. I know what it means to learn from him. I know what it means when it says, "For I am meek and lowly." I know what it means when it says, "And ye shall find rest unto your soul." Why? Because God's Spirit will help you with that book. I guarantee you, if you'll ask God for wisdom, and I guarantee you, if you'll ask God to help you understand this book, give you his understanding to understand this book for his honor and his glory, I guarantee he won't give it to you that moment, but I guarantee you'll end up with it, because it's something that God values in human beings. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. Well, I've got a whole bunch more, and so I'll quit on that, and we'll take up right about there. But the thing that I've learned is, over the years, as I've kept tracking that tree of life, is this. It's something that the more I look at, the more indebted I am to God, the more I realize that without God, I'm absolutely helpless, and that I'm totally indebted to God in every way. And the more I've fed on that tree of life, the less confidence I have in myself, and the more confidence I have in God. And the more confidence you have in God, the more peace you have in here. Because we fail in many things, but God has never failed in anything. And the greatest thing that man accounts as a failure was his greatest victory when he died for our sins. Sister Norma, would you dismiss us?